Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Murder. Ba-ba-da-bob. Welcome to Death Do Us Part podcast, hosted by my wife, Jamie.
Hello.
And myself, Mark. What up, y'all?
Hey. Who's hitting it, me or you?
I think you are.
No, I think it's you.
I'm not touching the table.
I'm not touching the table either.
Is the dog?
No.
I don't know.
All right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Oh, he is now.
Now he is.
He heard dog and was like, what?
Oh, my God.
So you know what I just found out?
What did you just find out?
Mother of sweet baby Jesus.
Oh boy.
You can get almost any drink at Starbucks. A blended.
That's fantastic.
I have a vanilla sweet cream cold brew.
Yeah.
Slushy.
Oh, that's gotta be good.
Hit my fucking soul.
That has got to be good.
Put the sweet cream on the top.
Did they really?
I ain't gonna lie. I got a blended pink drink in the freezer.
Did you really?
Yes.
I wonder how that's gonna be.
Oh, I've had a blended pink drink, so I knew they could do that.
Oh.
Because I've had that and like a blended like strawberry lemonade. I didn't know you could do the coffees.
Yeah. How are the pink drinks though?
Oh, they're great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I ordered on the app and I went to this and it said blended. I was like, what? What?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
I would offer you a drink, but you have whiskey in front of you, and I don't think they would mesh well.
No, I don't think they would.
I don't really want to fucking share it.
More for you. More for you.
Yep.
So what else is going on?
We're going old school today. I don't have my computer in front of me.
Yeah, this is weird.
I know.
How are you going to do it?
Fantastically, like I did before.
No computer, though. It's weird, like, looking over.
Yeah, I don't think I need it, but I have it plugged in just to be on the safe side.
I gotcha.
Because you know that shit's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Something else I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
I was talking to Heather earlier. Mm-hmm. She runs our discussion group and everything like that. You know, she lost her son last year.
Yes.
You know that.
Yes.
I just wanted to congratulate her because she is entering her 14th year of being sober.
That's awesome.
She
that is so awesome.
Went and got a couple tattoos to cover up some old marks that she had and covering up some history. And I have goosebumps right now. I have like goosebumps on both arms.
Oh, that's so cool.
14 years fucking sober.
That's awesome.
That's insane. And last year with losing her son, and she's stuck to it.
Yeah.
She's doing amazing. And that's a struggle every day. It's
good
a fucking
job,
struggle.
Heather.
So
great
14
job.
14 years.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking awesome.
Here's to you, Heather. Keep it up.
Yep.
Let's go for a lifetime more.
Yeah, right?
So, yeah, I wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep.
I like hearing that.
Yep. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So.
So Little Man is at wrestling right now with Uncle Lugo.
Thank you, Uncle Lugo.
Yes. Yes.
Bless your soul.
I mean, I can't go because there's no handicap seating.
So the last one they went to, I was like, eh. But then I read the card for this one and I was like, fuck, man.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I might have taken him.
Yeah.
Fucking Moxley?
Yeah.
Jackson's on a mission if they have a Moxley t-shirt to get me one.
Is he?
So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
He ain't fucking looking for me. He don't care.
No.
No. He don't give a shit about me.
He just sent us a video, so I just watched it.
I love his pictures, how they're awful.
I know.
Buddy.
The quality is
I know
terrible.
You're super excited, but right. Stop jumping up and down to take the picture, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's funny. But thank you, Uncle Lugo, because that's a big help.
Yeah.
So,
on a side note, speaking of Uncle Lugo.
Yeah.
So I went and spray tanned today.
Did you really?
I did. Now, that's not the point of my story.
You didn't tell me this.
Well, I was going to see if you noticed, because I didn't go very dark, but I tried to self-tan the other day, and it did not turn out terrible.
Right.
But it didn't turn out great.
Yeah.
So I wanted a base to start with.
I gotcha.
So the one that I went to, I pulled in the parking lot and I'm like, why are there fucking 900 cops here?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on? So while I'm standing there talking to the tanning lady, another lady comes in and it turns out she's with the officers.
Yeah.
There was a funeral home across the street.
Oh.
It was Will County Sheriff's or I apologize. I feel so terrible. Either corrections or sheriff's. I believe she said sheriff's. So she came in to get scissors or something. And I think it sounded like she had been in and out a couple times. And
right.
I said, are those your boys in the parking lot? She said, yeah. I said, I was just asking why there's 900 guys out there. And she's like, oh. She's like, they're at the memorial across the street. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she said that there was a member of their team. And it almost sounded like a tack team that she was talking about.
Yeah.
27 was on his way to a call out.
Yeah.
Died in a car accident.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
So, you know, she was getting a little teary-eyed saying it, and she's like, you know, when you're part of our team, you're part of our team. It's a family.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. I said, I get it. I said, I'm married to a retired cop. And she's like, oh. And I said, yeah. I said, he got sick a couple years back. I said, and immediately I said, I had guys, can I cut your grass? Do you need stuff fixed? And I'm like, guys, he didn't do that shit when he was awake. But,
right.
You know, I'm like, perfect example. I said, we're almost 5 years in. I said, and my husband's partner is taking my son to a wrestling event tonight.
Yeah.
I said, so when they say that the Blue Line's a family, it's a fucking family.
Oh, yeah.
It's 100% a family.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
And she's like, they're all mine, too. And I was like, so everybody's fucked when they come near you, huh? And she's like, that's why I've been single for 5 years. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. But I just, like, when you see him come out in droves like that, you know?
Yeah.
Lugo literally dropped everything he was doing.
Yeah, he did.
Yep. And was driven so fast by somebody else that her wife was like, where the fuck are you going?
Right.
So, but still, we're 5 years in.
Yeah, and
it's still the same. Yep.
Yep.
Once a family, always a family.
On all the time. So.
Yep. So. Yeah.
People don't understand, but it's just.
They don't.
It's a family.
When you're with those guys more than you're with your family.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So, and not to mention the circumstances that you're putting yourself in with them.
Right.
You know?
Oh, so, yeah. I mean, life or death situations.
Yeah.
So you depend on that person.
You bond.
Constantly.
Yep. You bond. And their family is your family and your family is their family.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. So.
Yeah. You're exactly right.
Yeah. So sad. He was 27. And Mom was telling me about another one who I know for sure was a corrections officer and was at work and got called to a different facility for some sort of situation that was going on.
Yeah.
And was hit head on his motorcycle.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So.
Well, there was a Memphis cop that just got shot and killed today.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah. On a well-being check.
Oh, what?
Yeah. It was, I don't know the full details, but it was a suspicious vehicle well-being check, and it was some teenagers, and they unloaded on him, and
Jesus.
I think he was able to kill one of them.
Well,
but he ended up, I think it was Memphis, I'm almost positive. I know it was Tennessee.
You know what? I think it was Memphis, because I think I saw on Facebook one of our friends who moved to Memphis put it on there.
Yeah.
I'll ask Kelly. She'll know.
Yeah.
So, that sucks. Sad
That's
day.
Crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, I knew as soon as I pulled around the park, I'm like, okay, this place cannot be getting raided because right. it's a strip mall that has like two buildings in it.
Right.
I'm like, man, I didn't realize the funeral home was across the street, but yeah. I was like, there's an awful lot of people who look like cops over here.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
It's naturally nosy. You want to know.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Duh.
So. God, I keep like choking on my whiskey.
Well, that's stupid.
So that reminds me of a joke.
Oh my fucking God.
So when I drink alcohol, people call me an alcoholic. But when I drink Fanta, why am I not fantastic?
Really? I don't even... I don't know what to say.
Right?
To that. I don't know what to say to that one. I just don't.
I saw that on Facebook, so...
Why do you have fingertips but not toe tips?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Why?
I don't know. It wasn't a joke. I'm asking.
Oh.
Yeah. I was just thinking about something stupid that I read to be as equally stupid as what you just said.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now I'm going to be thinking about that.
Yeah, there's like a whole thing to it. Why do you have fingertips but not toe tips?
Oh my God, that's
weird.
Why can
you tip toe but not tip finger? Yeah.
Oh, that's, babe, that's creepy.
I know.
What the fuck?
I don't know. Stupid shit I read.
What? Oh, now I'm going to be thinking about that.
Look it up. So.
We got a good one today.
We do. It's, if you know anything about true crime, I mean, if you're into true crime at all, you've probably heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Villisca Axe Murders.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I know someone who has been there to visit, and they said some paranormal stuff happened upstairs.
Now, there, I have a whole section on that, but I just wanted to say, so the house is open, and I'll go into that for tours and stuff, but they have
That was loud, I'm sorry.
They have a corkboard right when you walk in.
Yeah.
And it's pictures of orbs, shadows, bunch of other shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
some my of friend that went creepy. There said that, and upstairs there was a ball that kept moving around.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple creepy
things. I'm getting chills thinking about it.
So,
yeah, it's
so
creepy.
I'll go over the, like, what happened, and then I'll go over, like, how it happened, and then I'll go over, like, suspects.
Okay.
And then we'll do the haunting.
Okay.
Let me mix my.
Yeah, you gotta mix your drink up. Ooh, that's a big sip.
It's like the kid licking an ice cream cone.
Yeah, look at you all over there.
But yeah. All right. So, in June of 1912, the usually quiet and uneventful town of Villisca, Iowa, changed forever. Eight people were found murdered in one home. Six family members and two guests were all killed by means of the family axe. Was this a one-off or the work of a serial killer attacking families in the Midwest from 1911 to 1912? Do you know how many fucking axe murders happened in that time?
Oh my God. Well,
I mean,
yeah.
I get it. That's all you had was an axe.
I was going to say, like, that's like, that was, the only tool in the house.
Apparently. Yeah. So years of investigations and court proceedings produced nothing.
Really?
This still remains Iowa's most prolific and mysterious unsolved murder case.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not solved.
Oh, I had no clue. I thought it was.
Nope.
Wow. That just blew my mind. I thought it was solved.
Nope. No.
Wow.
You really thought that?
Yeah, I really did.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I really did.
So, Villisca is located in Montgomery County in Iowa. In 2019, there was only 1,100 residents. It's funny because at the time of the murders, there was double that. There was 2,500 residents.
Really?
So this was described as a thriving town with a close-knit community feel.
Yeah.
Because of the steady train traffic that goes through, it was a great place for developing businesses. So you would have a lot of like rich people coming in trying to build up and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's also home to a National Guard armory. However, this armory was and still is funded entirely by local residents, and it is the first of its kind on U.S. soil.
Wow. That is interesting.
Mm-hmm. It kind of is. I didn't even know, like, residents could fund a fucking
Had no clue. Yeah.
I guess you
that's,
can.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. news to me. I had no clue. Yeah, another big sip. Man, you're devouring that.
Dude, it's so good. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're going to town on that.
All right. So the Moore family was living in Villisca in 1912. 43-year-old Josiah Moore was head of the household. He sold farm equipment for a local businessman. We'll get into that in a little bit. Before breaking off on his own. He ended up just amassing immense wealth in his 30s.
Yeah.
Very successful businessman.
Okay.
Josiah was married to Sarah, who was 39, and together they had four children. Herman Montgomery was 11. Mary Catherine, who goes by Catherine, was 10.
My God, these are such old names.
I know. Arthur Boyd, who was 7.
Oh, my God.
And Paul Vernon, who was 5. The family was very well-liked throughout the town. Sarah, she did a lot of work with the local Presbyterian church, and obviously Josiah was a businessman in the town.
Mm-hmm.
They were known for being kind and generous, a church-going family that maintained good relationships with other Villisca families. Now, it was rumored that Josiah had made some enemies in his personal and professional lives.
Mm.
It's really just one enemy. In both.
Okay.
And we'll get to that. Because he becomes a suspect.
Flip the page.
Flip that page. On June 9th, 1912, the Moore family had a busy day planned. Their Presbyterian church was hosting Children's Day, which was just like a, I don't know, like performances and like readings and the kids sang. And,
yeah.
Because it's fucking 1912.
It's 1912.
What the fuck else are you going
to
do?
I was right. just going to say that. Yeah. What else are you going to do?
So Sarah was one of the co-facilitators and the whole family would be participating. The activities lasted all afternoon and into the evening. Two neighborhood girls, she was either 11 or 12, depends on who you ask, Lena Gertrude Stellinger.
Gertrude.
I know. And her 8-year-old sister, Ina May.
Ina.
I love it. Ina May. Attended the church's activities and were then supposed to go to their grandparents. However, after spending the day together, Catherine wanted her friends to spend the night. So Ina and Lena went to their house. Their parents were not home. Their yeah. older sister gave them permission to spend the night.
Right.
So the new plan would be, everybody agreed, and the girls would go home with the Moore family.
Yeah.
So when the church activities wrapped up around 9:30, the Moore family and the two Stellinger girls headed to the Moore home. Now, something odd that happened that night in the town
Ooh.
Was that there were no streetlights that night.
Oh, that's creepy.
So the town council had been fighting with Villisca Public Service Company, who ran all the lights.
Mm-hmm.
The town council wanted new lights, new light poles, better lights, shit like that.
Yeah.
And Villisca Public Service Company was like, no. Mm-mm, no. Not going to do it.
Okay.
So it ended up going to court, and it became a big fucking to-do, so that very night, for some reason, Villisca Public Service Company said, we're going to shut your lights off.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
So they shut off all the streetlights. Everybody had power.
Yeah.
But no streetlights. So now it's...
Well, that's kind of important, though.
Pitch fucking black.
Right.
Pitch black. Streetlights...
To be honest with you, I didn't even know they had streetlights back then.
I didn't know they had phones back then.
I don't feel so stupid.
Yeah, if that helps. I didn't know they had phones. So, yeah. So, I mean, no streetlights is fucking creepy. I don't care who you are. It's creepy. I'm going to move my hair.
Ooh, your glamorous hair that everyone likes.
Yeah, you guys are really good for my fucking self-esteem, too, by the way.
I need it. I need to post a picture
extensions?
Of me. And no, like, I need a fake bake or something.
I'll stand behind you with my extensions
and
hold them up.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. I need to feel good.
So, shut up. So they walked home the three blocks in the pitch fucking a black. And because it was so late, they ended up having milk and cookies for dinner. And then they went to bed. So on June 10th of 1912, the next morning.
Yeah.
Mary Peckham woke up around 4 or 5, per her norm. She was on a farm, started her chores.
Yeah.
So she was the elderly, and I use that term loosely, because she was elderly for the time, but she was really like 60-something.
Oh, yeah. So. I gotcha.
Which, by the way, I found out today my mom's age. I don't know. But I was very off.
She's 66?
65.
Oh, I was close.
I was like, what the fuck? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally off. Didn't know.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Like, my parents are so much older, but like, I have...
You have older siblings.
Older siblings that are... Yeah. That could be my parents, technically.
No, they couldn't.
Well...
No.
Kim could.
No.
Yeah.
No way. If she was 14...
Still.
Oh, my God. She's going to punch you in the face.
Yeah, she is going to punch me if she listens.
I might fucking tell her.
Just to watch it.
Yep. So she was actually close to the Moore family, both in proximity and personally. She treated the kids like her grandkids, you know, loved them all. So the Moores are on a farm too. They have animals that need to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And around 7:30... Mary kind of took a look around and was like,
how did they know the time? By the sun?
I don't know. I would imagine there was some sort of timepiece, seeing as there were phones and streetlights, and we're just fucking stupid.
We are stupid.
Don't know when it,
we are really stupid.
Yeah. They had to have had some form of
right.
timepiece because they do know times in here.
Okay.
But we are definitely looking up when phones and light were invented.
In clocks.
Because we are dip shits.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, she was doing her chores and wasn't really paying attention then, and then realized at like 7:30, like, fuck, nobody's up at the Moore house. Like, they're usually up by now doing chores. Kids are outside doing their chores. Kids are playing. Like, they're taking care of their animals.
Yeah.
And there's nothing.
Off.
It's just quiet. So she gets a little closer to the house and notices that all the curtains are also closed.
That's always a bad feeling.
Always.
Yeah.
And the animals are getting restless. So they're usually awake at the same time as her. So they're usually up around 4 to 5 starting their chores, you know?
So, what, the animals?
No, shut up. So she said she felt what she described as a, quote, odd stillness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Feel that walking in your house with a DOA.
I'm walking away.
Yep.
Walking away.
She tried knocking, tried getting in, because doors aren't locked around here.
Yeah.
Doors were locked, couldn't get
That's
in.
That's another thing. We gotta look up when door locks were invented.
No, these door locks, they have door locks. But at the time, keys were not, like, specific keys were not, like, a thing.
Yeah.
So you could have, like, a dummy key that would open 17
Everything.
Different fucking doors.
Right.
So now Mary was like, well, this is odd. But maybe they overslept. So she just starts taking care of their animals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now that's cool.
I feel like our neighbors would do that.
Yeah, they would.
They would.
Alex would totally do
They'd
that.
They'd be like, what the fuck? Why are you not awake? God damn it, I'm going to feed the horses. Like
Alex would totally do that.
1,000%.
Without thinking.
Nope. Yep.
Without thinking. And Darian, too.
Mm-hmm. So now, the girl, Ina and Lena, their mother's name was Sarah also. So Sarah Stellinger was trying to call the Moore house to find out, like, what's the plan? Are we coming to get the girls? Or are we getting them tomorrow? Like, what are we doing? So there was no answer.
Right.
Which is odd, again. That's the only fucking thing making noise in your house besides you.
Right.
So it's not like you're going to miss a call. It's not like your shit's on vibrate.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Flip the page.
Flip the page.
It's so weird without a computer.
I know, because you have to look at me.
I know.
So.
I'm giving you crazy eyes, too, by the way.
Manson lamps?
Yep.
Yep. So after a little while, Mary actually became worried enough that she called Josiah's brother, Ross. Which, side note, spray tanning, she's trying to explain it to me. And I was like, I know you're 12.
Were you like Ross?
I said, I'm having a friend's moment right now. And she starts laughing. She said, you are not the first person to do it. She said, I actually had to go home and watch it one day because so many people said
it to
me.
Were saying it?
Yeah. And she's like, you do not count. It talks to you. It prompts you. Because I was like, do I have to like count to three and turn? And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay, is it going to spray me after I hit the button? She's like, it talks to you. And
see,
I'm like,
dude, that's awesome. She had to actually watch Friends episode.
She was fucking 12. Yeah.
It's such a classic. Yeah,
she said so many people had referenced it. Because I got so scared. And
I have so many fives.
When she was explaining the colors to me, I was like, is that a lot?
Right.
Is that a lot? And she's like, well, you can do a clear that gradually gets tan. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, I don't like that one. I was like, I don't either. I want to be able to see it. I said, but I can't have too many fives. And she didn't laugh, so I just left it alone.
Right,
but then when we get in the room, it's loud. And I'm like, what if I can't hear the instructions? And then I'm like, okay, well, maybe they're written down inside. And then my thought was, I'm not going to have my fucking glasses on. I'm not going to be able to see.
See,
I legit panicked.
Now, I have a question. Like, so it's sprayed on.
Yes.
How long does it last for? Like, do you, like a certain amount of showers cleans it off?
That's what I asked her. So, yeah, basically. So, like, if you go to get it for a special event or whatever, it does come on. It does fade. Most people, the norm is 1 to 2 times a week you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. You figure if you're showering every day. And then when you shave, like, that's kind of pulling it up. But
why don't you just regular fake bake?
Because I can't. I don't tan.
Yeah, you will.
No, I don't. I've tried. No, I have tried. I don't.
Okay.
And I have to be in that booth for fucking 47 minutes. I'm claustrophobic. No.
I'm thinking about fake baking now again. And
breaking the tanning bed?
Breaking the tanning bed because I can't stand.
I still
stand.
Think the best fucking answer when I was like, okay, when you heard all the cracks, what did you do? You're like,
I fucking got up and left.
I got up and said goodbye.
Yeah. What am I going to do? I can't tell her like, oh, my fat ass just fucking cracked the fucking light tubes.
No.
I got up and left.
It's super fucking easy. So, okay, you walk in. And so I got like a primer. And then you do the tan, and then it was supposed to do a moisturizer afterwards, but it didn't. So it literally,
fancy.
It tells you, like, there's, it's almost like.
Move over.
Right, like.
Turn over.
Twister. So it's like, okay, face the front. Put your toes on number one, put your heels on number four.
Okay.
Perfect. And then it'll tell you, turn. Put your toes on number four, put your heels on number one.
Oh, really?
Perfect. Turn again. Then it says, put your toes on number three and your heels on four. So then you're sideways.
Oh.
And then sideways. Yeah. But it does like the primer. And then it says, drying will commence.
Should I try
it? And you can. It's like a fucking car wash dryer against the car. It's like a big fan. It's like.
Do you think I could stand long enough?
Yeah. I was in there for maybe 10 minutes. And I'm thinking that's like. That's a while. So it's.
Does it have things on the top where you hold?
You can.
Okay.
So it's a primer front and back.
Because when I used to do the stand up, like there were things on, like handles on the top.
Yeah.
So you're not just like standing there. Like you could actually hold on.
There's got to be. I didn't have my glasses on, so I couldn't.
Okay.
But so you do primer front and back, and then it dries you. And then you do four sprays. So you're basically in a circle.
Do you go naked?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then it dries you. And then it dries you again.
Interesting.
So when you get by the... Because I was like, how long do I have to stand here and dry? And yeah. She's like, no. Because when I self-tanned...
Yeah.
Like, you have to stand there until you are completely dry. God forbid you start sweating.
Oh, yeah.
Because then that's a thing. So with the spray tan, though, they're like, try not to cry or sweat for like 6 to 8 hours. I'm like,
yeah.
Got it.
I'd have a problem with that.
But I'm like, how long do I stand here and dry off? And she's like, no, the machine dries you off. I was like, oh.
That's crazy.
She's like, it literally will prompt you through the entire thing. I'm like,
dude, that's so crazy.
Okay. They give you a hairnet and.
Do they really?
Yeah, and some stuff to put on your knuckles that you wipe off afterwards.
Oh, that's so weird.
So there's no like creases. And yeah, you go in and I was like, I'm having a friend's moment.
Wow.
Yeah. No counting, no nothing. It prompts you to do it.
We've come such a long way. I know.
It's very hard to hear, though.
Is it
like,
really?
What if I don't hear where to turn? I was like, I'll just wing it. But yeah, the moisturizer part didn't come out. So I was kind of like, eh. But then they have a special, you know, like they have the activator lotion shit for your tanning.
Yeah.
They have a special lotion that you put on after like a spray tan.
Yeah.
To keep it. It won't like rub away your tan.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It was very quick. I was, yeah, in and out, 10 minutes. So, there's my friend's moment.
Well, I just finished my second drink.
I thought of Ross, and then I just, yeah, there's my friend's moment. Okay, so when Mary explained her concerns to Ross, you know, that she had seen the family come home the night before, but then has not seen anything yet this morning. So, Ross, now yeah, also concerned.
That's
yeah,
a sign.
Calls Josiah's business. J.B. Moore Implement Company.
I thought you were going to say Morgan.
I almost did. The employee there by the name of Ed Selly spoke with Ross and said that he was actually also getting concerned about Josiah because at this point he had been at, he usually is at work for hours.
Josiah. He's got to be Italian.
I don't know. A lot of them call him Joe, but I don't know. I wrote Josiah the whole time.
I think that's Italian. My grandma would always say Giuseppe Maria.
Giuseppe? Isn't that Joseph, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
She used to swear in Italian, too.
She used to swear in Italian. Ah, fangul.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
So Ed tried calling the Moore house and got no answer. So he was like, fuck it, I'm just going to go to the house. So he goes over to the house and he finds Mary, talks to her. She gives him the whole spiel again. So he goes around the house. You know, knocks on windows and doors, can't get in. And he's like, well, fuck it. Like, I got shit to do back at the store. Like,
I gotta go.
Yeah. You know?
I gots to go.
So he walked back to the store. And in the meantime, Ross had gotten to the house. So he got to the house around 8 o'clock. He knocks on the doors and windows, yells, gets nothing. No response. So finally, he's like, let me try one of these keys. Like, maybe it'll fucking work. Like, he didn't have a key to the house, but he had keys, and keys were like dummy keys then.
Right.
So, he finally gets in the front door.
Oh boy, here we go.
The first thing he notices is how unnaturally dark it is in the house. Okay? Every curtain had been pulled shut, and additional coverings had been put on all the windows. Mm-hmm. He went through the parlor, which would be the Midwest front room.
Yeah.
French room. And into the bedroom on the first floor. He said he immediately smelled what he described as, quote, death.
Oh, God.
It's
June. You know death.
Yeah, it's June.
Yeah, if you're in law enforcement, you know exactly what death smells
it's
like.
It's June and the house is closed up.
Yeah.
Like all the windows are shut, all the curtains are pulled.
Oh, so, yeah.
When he looked in the room, he could make out two figures in the bed, but they were completely covered with sheets. Even in the dark, he could make out copious amounts of blood around where he thought the heads would be and on the walls. Ross ran back outside to Mary because she didn't come in. And almost collapsing, he said, quote, something terrible has happened. Mm-hmm. So they call the city marshal, Hank or Henry Horton. He goes to both in the sources.
I'm going to say Hank.
I like Hank.
Hank.
So he arrived on the scene approximately 30 minutes later. And he's the highest ranking officer in the town.
Yeah.
Okay. This was way above his fucking pay grade.
Right.
Murders don't happen in the town. Axe murders don't happen in the town. It's a fucking dry town. So he's not even breaking up like bar fights and shit.
Right.
So he's like the Monopoly cop, you know, that's like,
you may pass go.
Right. So this poor guy. So he goes into the house and his.
Do you think his first words were, what the fuck?
I'm sure they were. So he walks in and he's like, okay, while I'm waiting for somebody, I'm just going to walk through the house. Like, I'm not going to touch anything. We're not moving anybody. We're not moving anything. I just kind of want to get a walk through.
Yeah. Okay.
So he started to inspect the house and goes into the first bedroom. And like I said, he didn't move the sheets or the bodies. But in that room was the axe.
Ooh.
Propped up against the wall. It was covered still with blood, hair, and flesh. But it also appeared that someone had tried to clean it and that the blade had dulled significantly since its last use.
Oh my God, dude, that's terrible. That is terrible.
Somebody had a point to fucking
This is fucking personal.
Yeah. So now that axe was later identified by Ross as Josiah's axe. There was a very distinct chip in the blade, so he knew it was the axe. Yeah. Okay. So some bad guy shows up at their house without a weapon.
Hmm. Yeah, that's
Did he
weird.
Just assume there was going to be an axe, or did he know?
Did he know?
Yeah, exactly. So now, Horton went through the entire house and found a body in every bed.
Oh, my God.
So at this point, he wanted to do a once-over.
Can you imagine?
I know.
Oh, my God, dude.
So now he opens the curtains, and he sees everything.
Yeah.
So
death
he didn't,
everywhere.
He didn't touch anybody. He right. just opened the curtains.
Yeah.
He went back outside and said to Ross, quote, my God, Ross, there's someone murdered in every bed.
Oh.
Yeah. Horton tells the now gathering crowd that no one is to enter the home, but no one listens. Because that's what you did back then. Right.
Went through the crime scenes.
Jesus fuck. They used to make a day out of like hangings and shit. So right. They brought picnics.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying
Who
I wouldn't go.
Who brought the popcorn?
I would 100% go. I'm just saying.
Oh, I would too.
I would 100% be walking through that crime scene too.
Yeah.
But not the point. Walk through it. Don't touch anything.
Right.
So word is now spreading quickly. Okay. Several more police officers start arriving. Horton actually left the scene to go get a doctor. He returns to the scene at about 8:45 with Dr. J. Clark Cooper. Now, around that time, Sarah Stillinger tries to call the Morehouse again. Now, phones were existing. Obviously, we know that.
Yeah.
But this was when there were operators. Mm-hmm. Like, they had to connect the calls.
Yeah.
So, when Sarah calls, I'm getting goosebumps, and tells the operator she'd like to be connected to the Morehouse... The operator says, oh, everybody in that house is dead.
Oh.
That's how she found out about her daughters.
Oh, my God, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
So now, I guess I'll give it trigger warning. I don't think it's the most gruesome. Whatever. So Horton reenters the home with now Dr. Cooper, Dr. Hugh, and Dr. F.S. Williams. So three doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And Reverend Ewing, who was the family's minister.
Yeah.
The county coroner, Dr. Lindquist, arrives shortly after. There's a lot of fucking doctors in this little...
A lot.
Shithole town, you know?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say shithole, I'm sorry. So, Dr. F.S. Williams was the first to examine the bodies. He determined that the murders occurred between midnight and 5 a.m. Dr. Lindquist also determined by the blood spatter in Josiah and Sarah's room that the assailant was either left-handed completely or swung the axe left-handed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, collectively, all the doctors determined that the victims were struck 20 to 30 times each.
Oh, my God.
Everyone but Lena was most likely sleeping when they were attacked and were in the positions they were in when they were sleeping. And there's some controversy, I don't want to say controversy, but conflicting stories.
Yeah.
So originally it was said that just Josiah was hit with the blade first.
Yeah.
And then it came out that maybe Josiah and Sarah were hit with the blade first, but everyone else was hit with the blunt end first.
Oh my God.
First.
Yeah.
There's a round two.
Oh, Jesus first. Christ.
Yeah. There was no decapitation, no dismemberment, and no sexual assault by definition. I will get there. It appears that they all died from blunt force trauma to the head.
Wow.
Okay. So now this is what they describe. This is what the doctors are testifying to. I need a drink.
Mix that shit up. Big gulp again. Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
It's so good. Okay. So in the downstairs bedroom was Lena and Ina. They were in the first floor bedroom. They shared a bed. This is where the axe was found. They were beat in the head and the face until they were unrecognizable.
Oh, my God.
The only way that the doctors knew who they were right away by were the names in their Bibles.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
And people that had seen him at church with them the day before. Okay. Now, it looks like Ina was the first one murdered. And Lena, excuse me, was the last to die out of everyone.
Yeah.
Now, Lena was the only one found in a different position. So this is why they think she might have woken up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
So she was lying half sideways with her right arm up under her pillow.
Yeah.
The doctor would later testify that he thought she maybe scooted down to the end of the bed to escape after the first blow or was possibly turned over after death.
Jesus.
So she was on her right hip, but her upper body was flat against the bed, like belly down. Okay. So very awkward. Her nightgown was pushed up. So her nightgown had been pushed up and her underwear had been removed and was found under the bed. There was blood on the underwear, but it was later determined to be from the killer himself or him trying to clean the axe with it.
Jesus.
Yeah. Now, some say it appeared that she was in a defensive position, but other people think maybe she was pulled down towards the end of the bed, and she was kind of laying across the bed at the bottom. So, like, instead of, like, head to feet, she was laying, like, sideways.
Yeah.
Now, the doctors say that she was not raped, but it sounds like something kind of happened. On top of the fact, in that room, I'm going to wait for you to put your phone down because you got to hear this.
I'm texting Jack.
Yeah. So she's laying sideways, obviously, nightgown pushed up, underwear under the bed. She's the only one who was repositioned or anything. So also in the room with the axe was, depending on the source, anywhere from a 1 pound to a 4 pound slab of bacon.
What?
Wrapped in like a linen or a cheesecloth.
Yeah.
It was taken from the Moore's icebox, and it is believed that the killer used that slab of bacon to masturbate.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
This whole thing is fucking
weird. That is so weird.
The whole thing is fucking weird.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So now we're in Josiah and Sarah's room. Josiah was killed first and has the most damage to him. It's guesstimated that he was killed first to kind of eliminate the biggest threat because he's dead. You know?
Yeah.
He had a minimum of 30 blows each round.
Oh my God, dear Lord.
His eyes were gone.
What? Yep.
Now he was hit with such force that there were gouges in the ceiling. So when you come up with the axe, you hit, the killer would hit the ceiling with the axe. So he's going all the way above his head. With that axe to come down with.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Sarah's face was cut but barely recognizable. And it is said that her face was cut into sections, almost like a dissection.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So the next room is the four children. They were all beat in very similar ways. The tops of their heads were crushed, and it looked as if, quote, their brains had been chopped out with some instrument. There were similar gouges in the ceiling, so somebody used a lot of force with that. Okay. So now this is what they believe is the timeline.
Okay.
It's unknown if the killer was lying in wait in the house for everyone to go to sleep or if he entered after midnight.
Yeah.
Which either way is fucking creepy.
Right.
Officers found two cigarette butts in the attic, which suggested to them that this is where the killer waited until everybody fell asleep. How the fuck do you stay that quiet?
Yeah. Wow.
But that's why a big part of the attic is like, they say the attic is haunted, but that's where they think he waited.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So either way, he got to the house with no weapon. So he knew there would be an axe either in or outside of the shed and banked on it. Wow. He brought nothing of his own, obviously.
Yeah.
He then entered the home through an unlocked door.
Lock your fucking doors.
He found two oil lamps. Do you remember? My mom called them hurricane lamps. So they have the oil. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so the oil at the bottom.
Exactly what you're talking about.
With the thick wick.
Yes.
And then they had the cylinders on top.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
So he found two of those, removed the globes, and put the globes either under a dresser or under a chair, and then split the wick. Because splitting the wick gave you light, but not too much light to wake everybody up. So it was like a dim, like mood lighting, one would say.
I did not know that.
I learned it here.
Wow.
Yeah. So he made it dim so nobody would see.
I was 41 years old when I learned that.
Yep. So it caused the flame to give off a dim light, obviously.
Yeah.
So when he entered the home, he went past the first bedroom on the first floor. So he passed up the girls and went straight to Josiah and Sarah's room. From there, he went to the children's room. And then he went back downstairs and killed the two girls. Everybody was hit with the blunt end of the axe. Either Josiah or Sarah were possibly hit with the sharp end first. But he goes back upstairs and attacks now the bodies because they are dead. He attacks all the bodies with the sharp end. So there were two rounds. He went up once and came back down.
Dude.
And then went back up.
That's crazy.
Now, they came to this conclusion because Sarah's shoe had been at the side of the bed by Josiah's side. And nothing absorbed like it does now, you know?
Yeah.
So blood has just filled the bed and filled the sheets. And it had actually dripped off of the bed and filled the shoe. And it was sitting straight up. But then at some point, they knew that the killer had to come back upstairs because he kicked the shoe over.
Yeah.
Because now there was blood on the side of the shoe.
Wow.
Smart thinking, guys.
Yeah.
Good job. So they also figured this out because the wounds were in, you know how we've said wounds are in various stages of healing?
Yeah.
Okay, so these wounds were in various stages of blood coagulation. Shut up. Of blood coagulation. So you know what that means. Yeah. Some of them it's jelly, some of it's, you know, not.
Yeah.
So then they were all covered. All the bodies were covered. Josiah and Sarah were covered with their bed sheets. Boyd and Paul were covered with their bed sheets and their covers. Herman had been covered with an undershirt. Catherine had been covered with a dress. And Lena and Ina had been covered with the blankets. The killer then went through the entire house and covered every mirror or reflective surface with some sort of cloth and or covering, including Sarah's skirt that was ripped in two to cover two mirrors.
Oh, jeez.
Now, there's many speculative reasons why that happened. Some speculate that he covered the bodies because he didn't want to see what he did. With the mirrors and stuff, there's a lot of old, I don't want to say wives' tales. I'll say traditions because they were traditions. if you looked in the mirror, like if, you know, because they let bodies to lay for viewing in the home that they died in.
Yeah.
If you looked in the mirror in that home, you were the next to die.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, like, they covered the mirrors. They covered all the...
Fuck
yeah,
that.
They covered all the coverings and everything. Which, this is why we have mirrors nowhere in nowhere this motherfucking in the house. No, never will.
Upstairs nope. in her bedroom, nope. and that's it.
I don't want one in the hallway. I don't want yeah. one in the foot. Nope. No.
No this, fucking way.
This is... Mirrors creep me the fuck out.
They creep me out, too.
I don't
Thank God you feel yeah, that way.
We can date it back to Bloody Mary. I don't give a fuck. I hate mirrors.
Yeah.
Hate them. So... I'm all for this guy because, listen, he's walking through this house. He's got this dim little fucking hurricane lamp. He's going to look in a mirror, and if he's anything like me, he's going to fucking scream, thinking it's somebody else, drop right. the lamp, light the shit on fire.
Right.
That's what would happen to me.
Yeah.
No, I fucking hate mirrors. So that's one of the things. There's another one. If you look, you would be the next one. Or if you look in the mirror, or like doors had to be open too. Like, yeah. so spirits could leave.
Right,
Yeah, like, the Irish do that for some things. Like, on New Year's, you're supposed to leave your door open, your front and your back door open 24/7, so the old year can go out and the new year can come in.
Well, see, my friend that went there, not only did a ball move upstairs, mm-hmm. the door started closing. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot of
stuff. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Fuck that.
So... Now they're going through the house. There's a bowl of bloody water on the table. So oh. he had washed his hands.
Yeah.
There was also a plate of food. He got hungry.
He got hungry.
Jerk it off in bacon. Makes you hungry.
Right. Just...
And right. I'm a terrible fucking person because I was reading this and I'm like...
You're so bad.
Did he cook more bacon?
You're
like, did
so
he take
bad.
The other piece out of the icebox and was like, I need some bacon.
I mean, when you jerk off in bacon, you get hungry.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, if you're jerking off in the bacon, do you want to eat the bacon?
Oh, my God. We're going to hell. We're going to hell right with OJ.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see the fucking picture going around Facebook? It's Charles Manson. Like, yes. to OJ. And it says, don't worry, OJ. It's a dry yes. heat. I was like, oh.
But not just that, the one with him and Nicole, like, happily reunited. Oh, yeah. oh my God.
Those are bad.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so bad.
Those are really bad.
Yeah.
But if his funeral procession is not the fucking Bronco chase, someone's not living life right.
They
I don't care
to.
Who you are.
They don't care. Fucking got
and
to.
And then Ron Goldman, bless his fucking heart.
Oh, he's
his
awesome.
Statement to the media. Not a real loss to the world.
Right.
Well said, sir.
He
well said.
He is awesome. He
Love him.
Fucking
with his
rules.
Little mustache,
yeah. With his little mustache, yeah.
So,
I fucking want that.
I know. It's, oh, God.
Yeah, he is fucking awesome.
So a couple more. They found a broken keychain that didn't belong to anybody in the family. And then they went and searched the barn. Now, in the barn, they took some notice to some hay bales. Obviously, they have hay bales. They have, you know. So it appeared that some of the bay hales were hay bales, not
yeah.
bay hales, hay bales.
Right.
Yeah. Were stacked, but there was also an indentation in the shape of a human form as if somebody had been laying on them.
Hmm.
Now, if you look, if you're laying on those hay bales and you look over, there's a hole in the barn wall. Could be a notch from the 4x4, could be a hole that was made, whatever. But. You look through this hole, and yeah. you can see the entire grounds of the Moore property, including the house that you could see into the windows.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah. So somebody was watching.
Yeah.
There's no way around.
Oh, yeah.
There were footprints in the children's closet, which they don't know. You don't know if that's like an adult or a kid or whatever. So,
yeah.
Dr. F.S. Williams exited the house and said to the crowd, quote, don't go in there. You'll regret it until the last day of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's still within hours of the murders.
Mm.
So they left one person at the scene with specific instructions to not let anybody in but law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
He did not
Listen.
Do his job.
Yeah.
Great I don't job. Think he... Well, like, it's one dude.
Right.
Who probably was not a cop.
Right.
He was possibly 12. And they were like, don't let anybody in. The kid's like, all right.
I'll give you a quarter.
One fucking adult is going to be like, move, squirt.
Right.
Done.
Right.
So at least 100 people.
Oh, my God.
Wait, including friends and church members went through the house before noon.
Dude.
Before noon.
Come on.
They did not find, they didn't close off that crime scene until noon.
Oh, my God.
So cop gets so there at, bad. You know, 8:45 with the doctor, whatever, they're in by noon. Yeah.
That's so bad.
So now they've touched everything.
Yeah.
Smeared everything. Their hair is everywhere. Right. They're probably spit in places. Because, you know, that's what you fucking did at a crime scene.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
And someone took a piece of Josiah's skull.
See, but I would know where to spit.
You didn't the last time.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't. When your dude was like, sir, how much more DNA are you going to put on the scene?
That never happened.
I think it did.
That never happened.
I mean, that's what your friends are
doing. I always know where to spit.
Liar. So, someone took a piece of Josiah's skull and then displayed it later.
Oh, my God.
He was not the killer, by the way. So, they finally closed the crime scene off by noon, obviously, but the damage is done, you know. There was kind of a half-ass attempt to search the surrounding area, but all the cops figured that the killer had a head start of about 3 to 5 hours, and he was long gone, so they just weren't going to look.
Why not?
I get it.
Yeah, sure.
He could have taken a horse.
Right?
They go pretty fast, right? They go fast. No, this fucker walked away like Michael Myers.
Right.
Left the axe, cleaned it off.
Yeah.
They did bring in bloodhounds. They were fancy bloodhounds, apparently. But they didn't find anything either. They had a few suspects, but nothing like... They had literally no leads.
Right.
Nothing. And there's nothing at the crime scene. It's 1912. I don't know what would have helped them anyways.
Yeah, but right.
Whatever was there... Neighbors are like, oh, let me lick that. Oh, let me touch that. I mean, like.
DNA was right. Not a thing back then.
Are they going to eat that bacon? Can right. We take that?
Right.
Are you going to leave that there? Can we
that
have it?
That bacon still looks good.
It's still good. Just wipe it off. Wipe it off. It'd be good. Rinse it off. It'd be good. So their first suspect, just based off of premise, was Frank Jones. Okay. Frank Jones was a local businessman in direct competition with Josiah Moore. Josiah had worked for Frank for 7 years in the farm equipment sales business.
Frank.
Frank at one point demanded that Josiah start working 16-hour days, 6 days a week.
Flip the page.
To which I wrote, Josiah said, fuck and that, and quit. He probably didn't say
perfect.
Fuck and that, but...
Yeah,
Direct quote. So then...
Fuck thy
right.
And that.
So then he started his own company doing the same thing, selling farm equipment. He would sell farm equipment, rent it out, everything like that. Well, when he opened up his own business, he took some very lucrative and big accounts with him, including John Deere. So Frank Jones was like, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also said... that Josiah was having an affair with Frank's daughter-in-law.
Ooh.
Now.
Interesting.
Some sources say that this was unfounded. However, more sources than not say that the daughter-in-law had a habit of sleeping around a little bit because Frank's son, her husband, was a complete fucking twat face.
Ah.
So, and Josiah was, I mean, for back in the day, he was a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But... Frank's son was a dick, so she cheated on him. And, you know, tea spills. The operators from the phone, you know, the phone company, said that they, like, connected thousands of calls between the daughter-in-law and Josiah.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Whoa.
There might have been that affair going on.
Yeah.
Now, Frank adamantly denies it, and it essentially ruined his life. The accusation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, if you didn't do it, you didn't do it. And it'll just fuck you up. yeah. for the whole time. So another suspect was a traveling minister. His name was Reverend Lynn George Jacqueline Kelly.
Enough names?
This is what I'm saying.
Jesus.
So he was originally from England and had come to the United States in 1904 with his wife. He would preach at Methodist churches in North Dakota, Minnesota, Kansas, and Iowa. Now, he had a history of a mental breakdown as a teen and also had a history of sexual deviancy, which they never really get into detail about that. But he had been convicted of sending obscene material through the mail. So obscene then and obscene now
is a little different.
Yeah. So he put an ad in the paper for like a secretary. Right. And when this chick was like, cool, I want the job. He's like, awesome. You got to type in the nude. Right. That's what he said. You might have to pose for pictures sometimes and you have to type in the nude.
Right. Right.
Okay. How much are we paying? Like, what are we doing? Right. So that's, he was convicted of it. Like, he was tried and convicted of it. So now he had developed a reputation while he was traveling as a odd and eccentric person. So.
Sorry, I'm
just, Jesus.
Moving the mic closer to my face.
So now. Later on, people would say that they had noticed the Reverend watching the Moore family at church and around town.
Yeah.
And he told people that he came to watch Sunday services.
Okay.
But she was dead. She couldn't do Sunday services. Mm. So, you know, because he is a traveling minister.
Right.
So he did admit that he was in Villisca at the time of the murders. That morning, so now they say the murders happened sometime between midnight and 5 a.m.,
yeah.
right? Okay.
Yeah.
He boarded a train at 5:19 a.m. that morning, heading westbound out of town. Hmm. He allegedly told passengers, two of which were an elderly couple, on the train that eight people had been killed with an axe in their sleep.
Ooh.
They hadn't been found yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's interesting.
He took bloody clothing to a dry cleaner in a nearby town a couple days after the murders.
They had dry cleaners back then?
I guess, or laundry services, or...
What? Yeah,
probably
wasn't. All this is mind-blowing. It
probably wasn't, like, actual dry cleaning.
Yeah.
So he returned. He left, obviously, in that train. He returned to Villisca 2 weeks later and posed as a detective from the Scotland Yard to get into the Moore home.
Oh, this is weird.
Now, he wasn't immediately a suspect because police just thought with his small stature and meek personality that he didn't really fit. But the killer couldn't have been that tall. He wouldn't have been able to swing the axe with full force.
Yeah.
Short ceiling, short guy.
The ceilings, like, how tall would they have been?
I don't know exactly, but much shorter than this.
They had to have been.
Well, and people were smaller then. They didn't fucking build them like you back then.
Right, right.
So then officers learned about his past, and they would repeatedly question him. In August of 1917, after a long interrogation, he signed a written confession.
Wow.
Saying, slay lightly, and that God whispered at him to take the children. He then immediately recanted and was indicted by a grand jury. The first trial was a hung jury. They had 11 for release, one for acquittal. And then the second trial, he was completely acquitted. Ooh. One of the deciding factors the jury said was that who he spoke to on the train was an elderly couple, and they couldn't remember if it was specifically that day or not. Could have been a day after. They don't know. So he ends up getting acquitted, and he's gone. Oh, he was left-handed, by the way. So. So the next suspect that they thought was Henry Lee Moore, no relation. He was an alleged serial killer, and now this was before the term serial killer came about, by the way. Months after Villisca, he ended up killing his mother and his grandmother with an axe that had striking similarities to the Moore family murders. He said that the motive for his murders was to obtain the deed to a Missouri home. There was an officer that was assigned to the Villisca case that was convinced that Moore was the killer. He was also convinced that Moore was responsible for axe murders in Colorado, Kansas, and Illinois. But there, was literally nothing to link him to Villisca or the other crimes.
Yeah.
Just the similarities.
Right.
Now, William Mansfield, this guy, Billy the X-Men.
Oh, Billy.
He was an Illinois resident and serial killer. He murdered his wife, his daughter, and his in-laws in a way that almost mimicked the Villisca murders. Almost identical. Covered the bodies. There was a bowl of water on the table with bloody water in it.
Yeah.
He was eventually linked to the other axe murders in Kansas and Colorado because, again, bodies were covered and bloody water on the table in a bowl.
Wow.
He was also a suspect in the Axemen of New Orleans case. That's a whole nother one. But this guy was a fuck.
Yeah.
They don't know who did it.
Dude, that's insane.
It's still unsolved. There's
fucking insane.
There's speculation. The number.
I mean, if it was done around this time, it would be solved.
Yeah.
There would be DNA.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
His blood was in a bowl.
Exactly.
His blood, there was a bloody smear on her thigh.
Exactly. Like, it would have been solved by now. For sure. And if they still had the evidence, I'm sure.
They didn't have shit. 100 people walked through the house in 4 hours.
Right. But yeah, it definitely would have been solved nowadays. I have no doubt in that.
No. But what the fuck is wrong with you? Whoever did it.
Yeah.
That was proving a point.
Oh, that was up close and personal.
So now, William Mansfield.
I think it was someone close to the family.
William Mansfield would say that the motive for his killings was murder. He just wanted to kill people. Whatever.
Yeah.
There was no robbery. Nothing was missing. And the fact that they attribute a lot of theories to the fact that Josiah and Sarah were hit with the sharp end first.
Mm-hmm.
Many, 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 many people on the blogs and a bunch of other shit with this think that it was Frank. They think that it was Frank, what was his last name? Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah. They think it was Frank Jones for stealing his business.
Because I could see that.
He lost a lot of business.
I can totally see that, too. Mm-hmm. That makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the most sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man, you're enjoying that fucking drink. Holy shit.
They don't know who did it. It's still a cold case. It's never going to get solved.
It's never.
So, on to the hauntings.
Ooh.
All right. So.
And I'm never going to this house, by the way.
You can spend the night there for $428.
I'm never fucking going.
Yeah. The owner says that a lot of locals don't really buy into it, and that when people spend the night, the high school kids go and tap on the windows. Listen, that's how you get fucking shot.
That's how you get just shot. Saying. Yeah.
Okay. So the house is located at 508 East 2nd Street in Villisca, Iowa. And for a mere $428, you can stay the night. They also do tours.
And my friend just went on the tour. Yeah. He did not stay there. He just went on the tour.
Why do you want to stay there?
Yeah. Fuck that.
I will let you lie in peace.
Yeah.
I will wave at you when I do my day tour and go out the door.
Yep.
So this is considered actually one of the nation's most haunted places. It was scheduled to actually be torn down. And a local resident by the name of Martha Lynn decided that it was important to keep this piece of history in the town. So she bought it.
Wow.
She took out the plumbing, put in new plumbing, obviously, and restored the home to its 1912 appearance and added period-appropriate decor.
Yeah.
And you can see the pictures.
Yeah.
It's creepy as fuck.
It is.
It's creepy as fuck.
It's very creepy.
Yeah. Not a fan.
And so did my friend. He said it was, as soon as he walked in,
yes,
like he had an eerie feeling and had chills.
It's funny that you say that, because hundreds of people have reported unexplainable phenomenon. The one that is most commonly said is that upon entering the house, it's an immediate sense of concentrated dread.
Yep.
Profound sadness.
It's exactly what he said.
Or unexplicable rage.
That's exactly what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
yeah.
I'm getting chills right now. He said as soon as he walked in, he got chills and felt like sadness.
Yeah. So it's also been reported that there's a fog that moves from room to room. There's been EVP activity, obviously, because every fucking ghost show in the free world has been there.
Oh, yeah, has been there.
Orbs.
Yep.
Children have been seen playing with unseen individuals under the bed in the dark room, which was the room that Ina and Lena were in.
And that's the room where the ball moved.
Yeah. Oh, is that? Okay, because there's a ball in the attic, too.
No.
But the inexplicable rage is said to be felt in the attic. And that's where they think he laid in wait for them to sleep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, in 2014, a paranormal enthusiast brought a knife into the home after being told by the caregiver of the home to not.
You're right.
After attempting to, quote, provoke the spirits with a response, he said he saw a flash of light and woke up in the hospital 3 days later with a self-inflicted stab wound to his chest.
Oh, my God.
He said he has no recollection of it whatsoever, and when he was released from the hospital, the first thing he did was go back to the house and apologize to the spirits for pissing them off.
Yeah, I would too.
I abso-fucking-lutely would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they say that the real thrill, quote-unquote, comes at 2 a.m. when a train still comes through the town.
Oh.
I have goosebumps. The whistle blow of the train is thought to trigger the events of the murder. This is when the fog is seen moving from room to room in order of the murders.
Oh my God. Fuck that.
Mm-hmm. And that is the Villisca Axe murder.
Oh my God, you asshole.
Mm-hmm.
You asshole.
Yep.
Fuck that.
Yeah, and then you, of course, send me a picture of fucking Gage today, so I'm not sleeping.
No. Yeah. I saw it on Facebook, a picture of Gage from Pet Sematary.
I always get up. Is that what it said? I might get knocked down, but I always get up.
I might get knocked down, but I always get up.
God, I fucking hate you. My feet hurt when I think of it.
Oh, my God. The Achilles tendon.
My feet hurt when I think of that.
I know.
That kid
creeped me. And he's so creepy.
The fuck out.
I would like to see him today. Like, I wonder what he looks like. If he looks the same.
Oh.
Yeah, remember he was on Full House, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I can't. Oh, God. I got the heebie jeebies.
Yeah.
Gage always freaks me the fuck out.
Yeah, I hate Gage. I hate that movie. That is the
you
one
made
movie.
Me watch it.
Dude, the original Pet
Cemetery. I
didn't sleep
for a fucking month.
The original Pet Cemetery is the one movie. Mm-mm. That haunts me forever. I could watch everything else except Pet Sematary, the original.
Yeah. Yeah. The ones like those, like, creeping me out. Okay, like Michael Myers. Yeah. Could somebody walk around and kill like Michael Myers? Yeah. But Gage slice your Achilles?
Yeah.
Yes!
And they didn't have, like, then what gets me is, like, there's no sci-fi. Like, it's like an actual person.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
That's what gets me.
This is why we don't have a bed frame.
Yeah.
Because I cannot have a space between the floor and the bed frame because of motherfucking Gage.
You're right.
I can't. I can't.
Right?
I can't do it.
Oh,
that's why the bed
God.
Is on the ground. Otherwise, Gage is going to... But when he's like, do you want to play with me? No, you little fucker.
No, I want to kill you again.
God. And parents understand this. Like, kids are creepy as fuck to begin with.
Yeah, they are.
So, like, when they come into your room at 3 a.m. and they're like,
want to play?
Can I have a drink of water? And they're this far from your face. Like, this is how kids get hurt.
Right.
Because I will fucking punt you across the fucking room. No.
Right.
Or when they come in, I threw up. What the fuck?
Right.
No.
Clean it up.
Kids are
clean it up and leave.
Kids are scary as fuck. And then they throw Gage out there.
Yeah.
Like, I'll even take Damien from The Omen. I'm good.
Yeah.
Not Gage.
Right?
Nope. And not Haley.
Gage?
Haley Joel Osment. Nope.
No. Gage
She's standing
is...
next to my window. Fuck you. No.
Oh,
no.
My God. Gage Ooh. Is the ultimate.
Mm.
Oh.
Mm-mm. Some movies just Fuck. Get me, like, The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. The one, the,
oh,
like,
when he's hanging in the classroom? Oh,
no,
my
no,
God.
No, see, now that one didn't get me. What got me was the kid when he's like, hey, let me show you where my dad hides his gun. And he turns
oh,
and the whole back of his
my
head
God,
gun.
Yeah.
Or at the very end when they're in traffic and he tells his mom, it's a car accident and they died. And she's like, how do you know? And he's like, she's standing next to my window.
Oh,
and the biker's like
Oh, my
this.
God, yeah.
The one that freaked me out the most, though, oh, my God. I was going to do a ride-along. My very first ever EMS ride-along with Ambulance 10 downtown. Yeah. Busiest fucking company down there, okay? I watch a movie with my mom's ex-husband. Stir of Echoes.
Oh, my. You know that was filmed in Joliet.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was filmed close to here.
This was the first time ever in my life I was awake for 36 fucking mm-hmm. hours because
yeah.
I did not sleep the whole night and then did a 24-hour ride-along. But
that was filmed very close to
her
here.
Her nails.
Yeah.
When she's
yeah.
Oh, God. I can't. When he's
yeah,
digging at the
dude.
Wall, I'm like, oh, God.
Oh,
those
dude.
Are the ones that, like, because you're like, that could fucking happen.
That could happen.
Yeah.
Yup. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for fucking my night
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, you sent me Gage. Fuck you. That's what you get. I'm going to go outside. Every fucking street light's going to be off. God damn it.
All right. Well, thank you for this one. People, when I post my picture, please fucking like it like you're liking Jamie's. Jeez. Mm. Let a dude feel good for once. But anyways.
The dog says we're done.
Yeah, the dog says we're done.
Yeah.
But anyways, you want to become a Patreon, go to www.patreon.com/deathdouspart, the number one, not...
Oneaters.
Oneaters, like we always say. Yeah, we still haven't watched that. But I hope you guys like that, this episode. If you become a Patreon, you get ad-free... all bonus episodes.
We're gonna have to do a Zoom pretty soon.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty
we'll
soon
one.
We're gonna plan a Zoom.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
So join up.
Yep.
Join up if you enjoy us.
I'm a ray of fucking sunshine, guys.
Right. So
the dog is not.
Like, follow, and subscribe, and we will talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.